This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick turnaround for the Padres today. Didn't help that they had a little rain delay. Sunday night baseball, rain delay, and then a flight to Milwaukee after the game. I think Bob Scanlon tweeted sometime around 3 a.m., wheels down in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they're used to this. I mean, this is what happens.
Yeah, but usually they schedule getaway.
3 a.m. our time or their time?
I think 3 a.m. their time.
They're what, an hour ahead?
Two hours
ahead in Milwaukee. But usually you play a day game before you have to fly out, especially if you're flying halfway or all the way across the country. Oftentimes, you'll have a day off in between. No day off, no day game. You had to play the night game because of Sunday night baseball. So this is probably going to be the toughest turnaround of the season for the San Diego Padres. Hey, I'm surprised they didn't have them playing at the Boston Red Sox today. You know, they're already underway. It's their Patriot Day, the Boston Marathon Day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where they play the very early game. It's already underway, 8 a.m. our time.
They wear the yellow jerseys?
Yeah, against the Guardians. And they started playing early this morning against the Guardians, and it's the Marathon Day. Gronk threw out the first pitch, and he spiked it, but he did it on purpose.
Yeah.
He did
the Gronk spike.
The Gronk spike right on the mound to get the first baseball game of the day underway. So the fellas,
the same thing happened to the Cubs. Believe that was also after playing the Dodgers. I do believe they had to fly in. They had to come out to San Diego. Super late. Listen, you know, no excuses for these guys. Certainly, they're pros. They've been doing this a long time. You know, you do wonder what it does to one of the young players, right? Like Manny, Jurickson, those guys go in, they hit the fister, and they fall right asleep. Right.
Yeah. Jeffrey says 1:28 a.m. Pacific time they landed. So 3:30 in the morning. So figure still with the charter and the bus, get them right to the hotel, but still probably 4:35 a.m. before most of them got any shut eye at all this morning. And they've got a 7 for 6:40 game tonight in Milwaukee. So
don't forget
a quick turnaround.
The ghosts of the fister as well.
That's right.
I wonder if anyone is
the chains.
Absolutely.
The rattling of the chains is just very hard to sleep through.
Yes,
from what I've heard.
Yeah, the radiator, you know, making noises and whatever. Yeah, but they do enjoy the fister there, so they're going to stay there in Milwaukee.
We'll talk about the matchup in the series coming up a little bit later in the hour. Right now, though, let's get some of the other headlines of the day and the weekend, what we missed in our Rondo report.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rondo report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rondo report. With Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right. Gentlemen, a couple of news and notes
for
Major League Baseball that we just haven't quite gotten to yet. We had a couple of monumental moments over the weekend. The first for Jackson Holliday, got that first hit.
Yes.
Was waiting for that one.
He was like 0 for 11, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Just a nightmare
He's
for
only
him.
Like 70 behind Jackson Merrill right now.
Yeah.
So Jackson Holliday got his first hit, and then number 300 for Andrew McCutchen.
Yes,
that is a big number in Major League Baseball. One of the absolute good guys. Always have loved Andrew McCutchen. Here's what it sounded like on Pirates Radio.
The pitch to McCutchen. High fly ball to left. Going back is Marsh to the wall. And there it is. Andrew McCutchen, number 300. Here in Philadelphia, his first of the season and a milestone moment for a Pirate great, Andrew McCutchen.
Guy sounds like a pro, but you
know. Not the broadcaster's fault. That's the engineer's fault.
But riding the hot mic?
I think so.
Don't you just back off
of it? Wall, and there it is.
I think that's the broadcaster's fault, or the engineer's fault of not... not dialing.
So this is Paulie's fault. When I do this, this is all Paulie.
They're wearing.
You can't
pull it away when you get loud. Anytime.
Paulie, this is your fault.
Yeah,
this
I can't really do anything.
What in the world?
I can make it quieter, but it's still going to be just like this.
Yeah, the hot. So you can't scream. I mean, every announcer on a huge
pull
call.
It away.
We'll ask Jesse tomorrow. I don't think he ever pulls his microphone away
I bet you he's a mic manipulator.
A long fly ball. Wait, this is going to be I've got to pull it away a little bit. No.
Mic manipulation.
In the middle of the call? I doubt that.
Yes.
I doubt that.
You have to. You got to have mic awareness.
Hmm.
That's what I mean, you hear my guttural scream. I don't do it right into the
No, but you're not
mic.
Wearing a headset. It's
but
different.
But we wear headsets when we're on remotes.
Did you move them at all? I never touched
absolutely.
Mine. Never touched mine at all. Interesting.
I take it off even like this.
Congratulations to Kutch.
He's great.
Also saw Blake Snell gave up 7 runs in 4 innings, and Giants fans are already going, what is going on here? This is Blake Snell,
this is
people.
It. Yeah.
You've got another 3 or 4 weeks of this at least.
He
if
had
not
no
like
spring
two
training.
Months.
Like, what did you...
There's no way he's getting off to a fast start this year.
No chance.
You have to understand that.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's going to be all right.
Maybe in a year, he'll be fine.
Got another story here. This... at face value, probably could have ended up in a don't do this story, but then you do a little bit of homework and you see, okay, it's not as bad as it looks. But did you see the statue unveiling in Philadelphia?
Boy, I did. I got
was it Friday morning?
Friday. I got a chuckle.
You said this has to be a prank.
I said I thought it was a prank.
I couldn't stop laughing. Allen Iverson, one of the greatest basketball players to ever live.
So good.
One of the most exciting guys to watch with a basketball in his hands. He was so much fun and just a Phillies legend, an NBA legend. And he got
Philly
76ers. Yeah. Philly legend.
Oh, Philly, yeah.
And he was memorialized.
Immortalized
by the
You have to be dead to be memorialized. He was immortalized, though.
Immortalized.
The statue.
And they did this in front of the 76ers practice facility. And I guess they have a bunch of other statues of 76ers greats from over the years. And when I saw the picture and the unveiling and the video, I just thought, no.
Oh,
way.
No.
It's just a little, bub.
Somebody
it's just
said,
a little tiny.
It's like a jockey.
Somebody said, they gave him a bobblehead, like an iron bobblehead. Now, this
it
is
it looks
what,
like a giant bobblehead.
You just want to call him, like, little bub.
Hey, little guy.
Hey, champ. How you doing?
Ding, 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 ding.
Just patting his iron head.
So the headline was, you know, that's what grabs your attention.
Oh, it killed
me. Then you look into it and you're like, oh, all of their statues.
That's what they have.
All this, which that alone is kind of lame.
You're kind of cheaping out. You're just going... Yeah, the full price statue.
We're not gonna do it.
$80,000. Can we get one for like maybe
$12,000?
Yeah,
one. It's like, what can we get? 16 inches
what
tall.
What can we get for $10,000 instead?
Why don't you just do a
about
print.
2.5 feet? It's about all we can do.
Just do a printout of a picture, all right, and put it in a frame. We're gonna
but
do
when
this.
When I saw that though, I go, oh,
I died
no,
too, dude. I
no.
died. I died. I
How
thought
could
it was.
You do that to him?
I thought it was. I was like, they're pranking this dude. Because if everybody else was full size and he was that, I was like, I mean, oh no,
he was like 6'1"?
I mean, he was a smaller basketball player.
He was
player,
a smaller but just, they didn't, you know, they didn't make
exactly.
it to scale. Yeah. Oh, it was great. It was great. But that's what they
it's
did.
It's like Legoland when you're walking through Miniland.
So what you should have done is you move that whole ceremony over to the other ones where they're all around you and you can get the
right.
context that, oh, this is, we do smaller statues here at the practice facility. But you just when
otherwise
just showed
everyone's
it,
just going to drag you.
Oh, I was
that's
like,
a self inflicted
like,
drag.
It was like Spinal Tap Stonehenge when they pull the thing up and it's this big. It's a foot tall. No, we're not going to do Stonehenge. They're on stage and they unveil it and they're looking at each other and it's a foot tall. Maybe the funniest movie in cinematic history. I just have to ask one question. Are we going to do Stonehenge tomorrow? No! We're not going to do bloody Stonehenge. It was so good.
Oh,
so it was great. But yeah, the context makes it not funny at all. It's just normal. It just makes it, oh, this is what they do.
All right, and finally, a little news you can use earlier that it is tax day. And, you know, anytime there's a quote-unquote, finger-quote, holiday, restaurants, yeah, fast food shops love to do bits. And there's a lot of bits out there for tax day today. If you're looking to save some money, we can start with Krispy Kremes. They're doing buy one, get one free for the dozen donuts. Buy a dozen at full price, get a second for just the sales tax.
That's the last thing I
need. You need lots of friends to buy two dozen donuts.
You really don't. That's the thing.
All you
really
have to do is pay the tax on the second one. And you're good to go.
I should have done that challenge. Eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts.
A dozen jelly beans.
Disgusting. They're now, still in my mouth.
I was looking through in the prep service bit of the day here.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of other deals, and like almost every single one applies to our old pal Woods here.
Okay, I mean, fire away.
Look, I love them too, but you in particular.
Krispy Kreme. Yes.
That's the first one. Grubhub.
Yeah.
DoorDash, more Grubhub. DoorDash,
yeah.
But if you want to use Grubhub, they have $15 off today.
Okay.
You got to spend at least $25. Use the code TAXBREAK on your order, and you will get $15 off.
Okay. That's a good deal.
BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse has a 10/40 deal. $10 off any $40 purchase.
Stop it. Let's stop it.
I mean,
stop it.
Who doesn't?
I like that.
Me too. Big fan.
There used to be a BJ's in La Jolla, but I don't think it's there anymore.
Must have gotten married. Put a ring on it.
Continue, please, Paulie.
BJ's with the $10 off $40 purchase. Hooters.
Oh, you missed out. You were too early.
I was Hooters. Too early. You know what I realized, too? When I took the kids over the weekend, I took them on, Saturday. We take a picture with the Hooters girls and the kids, and behind is a big sign, kids eat free on Sunday. And I'm like, oh, you
idiot. So you missed the tax day
kids were
deal.
Coming back tomorrow,
you missed
actually.
The Sunday eat yes. free deal, and you went on Saturday and paid full price.
By the way, we sit down at the table, and it's on the big wooden table. It says Hooters, and it's an owl, and it's got the big eyes. So Bo sits down and he goes, wow, that owl has like two huge eyes. And I go, yeah, that's the whole point of this restaurant. Owls and their giant eyes. That's it. You've nailed it.
The noise they make.
And the noise that they make. Yeah, that's right.
Hooters has a buy one, get one deal.
Okay,
buy 10 wings, get 10 free.
God, they were good.
I don't know why Hooters is so big on tax day, but they are.
Just trying to ease your burden a little bit.
And finally, know? I told you, this list is curated for Woods. I mean, we all like
what's
donuts.
What's next? Chili's?
How about Dave and Buster's?
Dave and Buster's. Oh, my God. My whole weekend would have been covered.
50% off all food between today and April 28th if you join their rewards program.
Their sliders at Hooters were really good. Really?
Wings and sliders.
Wings and, well, I got a bevy of, because I didn't know what these,
if Bo, the kids,
didn't, if Bo didn't want to eat the wings, I would, you know, I would have been screwed. So I know he would eat that. They were really, really good. It was really good. I don't want to say I was surprised, but it was fantastic. I'd like to go back.
You just get them naked.
I got naked with mild sauce for him and me. Blame the kids. I would do the hot ones. He wants mild, so we'll just do those.
You like cheese pizza?
Yeah, I'm playing guy.
But you can blame the kids now.
Yeah, always.
No, it's for the kids.
Yeah, always. So
get medium, which was also no
right.
kick at all.
And when he ate the mild, he goes, whew, these are spicy. I go, well, you are my son. Straight up.
Would you do that hot ones podcast?
Never.
You wouldn't do that.
I couldn't do it. I'll eat those jelly beans before I could do hot stuff.
Everyone loved Conan O'Brien's appearance.
Yeah, he was great.
I love that show.
Hot Ones podcast over the weekend.
They have a ton of great episodes over the years.
I liked Sydney Sweeney's the most.
She was good.
If we got invited, I would go for the promotion. I wouldn't look forward to the hottest of the hot wings, but I'd rather do that than the jelly beans, I think.
I would do the jelly beans over hot stuff.
Hot wings?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Conan was great, though. The clips that I saw were hilarious.
It was unbelievable.
All right, that's the Rindle Report. Going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to look ahead. Padres, Milwaukee Brewers. Interestingly, Padres just finished a series against the team with the most wins in the National League. Now they're playing a series against the team with the best winning percentage in the National League. Talk about a tough early season road trip with travel, you know, challenges as well. Padres Brewers coming up. We'll take a look ahead when we come back with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you see the, I saw a picture of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift at Coachella.
Yeah, saw that.
This weekend. Mm-hmm. And they just seemed like they were in the middle of everybody.
No, they were on stage, weren't they? Watching a band.
Like kissing each other. They were on stage because I saw a bunch of people. And I'm going, there's no way that Taylor Swift can just wander
like
into
VIP
crowd of people at Coachella.
They were side stage.
Without causing like a stampede.
Oh, and I saw they were definitely in the crowd.
They were in a crowd.
He lifted her up so she could see.
Yeah, she could see like over the crowd. Like, telling me that Taylor Swift just wandered into a crowd of people. Saying,
I'm sure there's like a pit area that's just VIP.
There's a VIP section. I've been in it. It's pretty cool. Like, I saw the dude from Breaking Bad in there, Jesse Pinkman. He was in there. Like, it was crazy. It was like, whoa, my God, it was at its peak, too. Like, that was nuts.
But there's, you know, celebrity.
There's
superstar celebrity.
And then there's Taylor Swift. Yeah, but who's going to mess with Travis Kelce?
No one's going to mess with her. I think it would be such a distraction to everybody there. Like, who would watch what was on the stage? You'd all be, like, turning around looking, taking pictures of Taylor Swift the entire time.
I watched Friday night before the Padres game. Deftones did a live stream, and we cranked it in my house. The kids went nuts. We had such a blast watching that. It was cool. I checked out a little bit of Lana Del Rey's set on Friday night. Coachella is awesome. Like, being able to not
watch on YouTube.
Watching on YouTube. Like, being able to sit on your couch.
Coachella.
Coachella. And you're like, I didn't spend a nickel. I'm seeing my band I love, and I'm doing it from the comfort of my own home. It was pretty great.
We watched a good amount of, we watched some of Lana on Friday. We watched a lot of No Doubt on Saturday, their first performance together in like 10 years. They were fun.
God, Lana was, big fan.
I had a little FOMO of Sting and Billy Joel. That would have been more my jam.
God.
Than Coachella.
That's the line of the day.
Really? You weren't excited for Doja Cat and Lil Yachty?
Ice Spice.
Hannah had the time of her life at that
Lil Yachty. It sounds like a great defensive, up-and-coming defensive catcher.
Lil Yachty, him? Oh, he's Lil Yachty. That's Big Yachty. That's Lil Yachty. It's spelled differently. Anthony says, I heard Lana just mailed it in. She can literally do whatever she wants, whenever she wants to. She's fine. Don't ever worry about her.
I heard that Billy Joel doesn't quite have the range
that he
used to have.
Hannah said he was spectacular.
Can't quite hit the highs, but he admits it.
When you have that many cutwaters, you know, everyone sounds good.
Yeah. I heard Sting was still solid.
Bro, he's like 70-something years old. He is yoked. Well, he has sex with his wife like four out. They do tantric. The tantric scene, like four-hour sessions, which is bananas. Dude, I wouldn't do that if I had to. You know, 4 hours is a long time. Who's got 4 hours in the middle of the day? Are you ready? All right, I'm ready. I've just drank a gallon of water, and here
half
we go.
That's half a work day.
Dude,
right there.
That's our whole work day here. You start at all 6, right, and you wrap it.
There's the bed. 6 a.m. to 10.
6 a.m. to 10.
Who's the tier
who's
one?
Who's the tantric tier one out there? Who are you?
Wants to go through the entire show one morning.
Start at 6. You finish when we finish. 10. I don't mean like that. I mean you're done. Ah, that came out wrong. Sorry.
Only a matter of time.
It was, yeah. You would have enjoyed that show. Lot of coastal whites up there for you. It would have been
recognized
really
a lot of the songs. You, I mean, from both of them.
The parking lot must have been just full of Teslas. I mean, the whole thing.
I see in our chat, Dan says the traffic was terrible downtown.
It's. I would have left halfway into Billy Joel's set just to beat it, dude. But yeah, he. I guess they were both great. Hannah's dad was a huge Billy Joel guy, so she's like, I basically wept the entire show. And but he said he sounded great, and they were obviously really up close. But Sting, she sent me a video. Bro, he looks unbelievable. Like, for his age, for any age. If you're like, oh, that guy's 30 years old, you're like, what a really put together and fit 30-year-old. No, he's like 70-something years old. Looks incredible.
Very impressive. All right, so Padres in Milwaukee today, and I think they made a pitching change because I thought Wade Miley was supposed to go up against Joe Musgrove, but now it's the former Padres prospect Joe Ross who is scheduled to make the start. It's a 4:40 first pitch our time, 3:40 Eco Water SoCal pregame show. Now, Joe Ross has not pitched in the major league since 2021, but had two pretty good starts this season for the Brewers to start his year, and he's got an ERA under 2. Now, if you'll remember, Joe Ross was sent along with Trey Turner to the Washington Nationals in the three-way deal that brought the Padres Will Myers. That's how long ago Joe Ross was a Padres prospect, spent many years with the Nationals, and then has been, I don't know, out of baseball or in the minor leagues the last couple of seasons, and now is back in the big leagues and will be pitching today against his former organization in a Joe v. Joe matchup. In the first game of the series against the Brewers, who are, again, off to a really good start. They have the best winning percentage in the National League.
Yeah, our buddy Tommy just tweeted this just now, Ben. Padres facing a hot Brewers offense in their last 7 games. Their run scored 12, 8, 9, 7, 11, 11, and 4. Yelich left a couple of days ago with back discomfort, hasn't played since. Big test for Joe. Even though he struggled last outing, his swing and miss is trending up. So, yeah, that's what you need. They've got good players, man. They've got Rhys Hoskins. They've got Willy Adames. They've got the Jackson. Is it Churio?
Churio.
Yeah, they got their Jackson there as well that they extended before the season. So, should be a good one, man. I mean, you know, you like the matchup against Joe Ross, certainly, but you also have to limit their damage as well. So, should be an interesting one tonight.
Tomorrow is Dylan Cease against Wade Miley. Okay. That's also a 4:40 start.
Was Wade Miley a former Padre?
I don't think he was ever on the Padres.
Feels like he was a former
Padre. Don't remember him ever being on the Padres. And then we'll have an early game on Wednesday. In fact, we'll already be in the Eco Water SoCal pregame show Wednesday at this time. Ben and Woods with the 3 hour and change show Michael King pitches against Freddie Peralta, who is, he was always the secretly like nastiest of their pitchers.
He's nasty, dude.
I mean, they had Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff who got all the attention.
Bro,
and Freddie Peralta
trying to win these two is what I'm saying to you.
He's nasty, but Michael King can be nasty as well. So that's the rest of your road trip for the Padres against the Brewers, who again, you're catching them at a, catching them at a hot time.
But they're catching us at a hot time.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of confidence.
Yeah, but the fact that the Padres have gotten through 9-9 so far record-wise is not a bad start at all. You've already played now five of your games against the Dodgers. I think you only have, what, eight left all season.
God, so many.
And you're 3-2 against the Dodgers in those five games.
For sure, dude.
One of the keys we said to the season is you can't Dodgers go 11-2 against you.
You can't.
You just can't do it.
And they still might. But
well, they can't go 11-2.
They can't go 11-2.
They go 10-3 at the worst. And if the Padres can just win now, you know, two or three more games against the Dodgers the rest of the year, they can, you know, split the season series with the Dodgers, which I think most teams would sign up for right now. All the teams that haven't faced the Dodgers yet, which is the majority of teams in baseball, if you said split with the Dodgers, you go, yeah, well, I'll take that right now. And the Padres are off to a great start in that quest to at least, you know, break even against the Dodgers this season. Maybe do better. Who knows?
You can't tweet tonight if we lose. You can't tweet about the travel. Deal?
I won't tweet about it. The Padres really can't say anything about
Correct.
It either. It is a factor.
I mean, it is. You can sleep all day if you want.
But you got to get to the ballpark fairly.
What time does it start? 6:40?
6:40 Milwaukee time.
Milwaukee.
They landed at 3:30 Milwaukee time.
Yep.
Probably got to the hotel.
5, call it.
4:30 to 5. So I don't know how quickly you can get to sleep. Probably fairly quickly after a long day and a long flight.
Also probably slept on the flight.
Yeah,
slept on
the flight. Some, although I bet it was fairly celebratory.
I've been pretty lively on that flight, I bet.
Fairly celebratory. I mean, it goes pretty fast on those 3.5 hours. You're not having to wait in security or anything because it's a charter. But then you sleep, what, from 5:30 until 11:30 noon. I mean, you can get six and a half hours,
more than you get.
That's true.
We're also not playing baseball at a high level.
You have something to eat, and you got to head to the ballpark and get there. You know,
Head to the ballpark.
They get there around 2 most games beforehand. Maybe Mike Schilt gives them a little later,
a little later
curfew or whatever they call it. Report time for the game today, just to get as much rest as you can before starting. Maybe cancel early batting practice or on field batting practice today to give yourself an extra bit of time to rest. And I'm sure Joe will be prepared.
Knowing you've got Peralta in a couple of days, Wade Miley's pretty crafty too, and you'll see, you know, they need to come out. They need to win this game against Joe Ross. And I know he's been throwing the ball well, but you're playing pretty good baseball right now. Let's keep it going.
All right, final segment coming up. First, though, we've got some tickets to give away. This week, we're giving out 4 packs of tickets to see San Diego's newest team, the San Diego Mojo, new professional volleyball team. They're going to be taking on the Omaha Supernovas at Viejas Arena on April 23rd. You can grab your tickets now at provolleyball.com or win them 4 tickets right now. Fourth caller, 833-288-0973. Fourth caller is going to win tickets to see the San Diego Mojo at 833-288-0973. We'll come back. Final segment of Ben and Woods. Get you ready for Annie and Elston coming up at the top of the hour here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, I'll be very glad to get back to Tony and Jesse and Don and Mud and the regular broadcast crews. Do the Padres have any more ESPN Sunday night games scheduled? I can't remember. One more, maybe?
Couple more, probably.
I used to be the guy who would look and say, why aren't the Padres on national television more? They've got compelling players now. It's always the same team. It's the Dodgers and
Yankees,
it's the Yankees,
Red Sox.
The Red Sox over and over again. We should really focus on teams like the Padres more often. Please don't. Please
stay away.
Just stay away as much as possible.
We're good.
I am more than fine not being on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. When you get the kind of experience you have having to watch that broadcast that they put together last night, we're not going to be blaming today, but do come along with having to play on Sunday Night Baseball and then traveling across the country for a Monday game, I'd just rather skip it and play the normal Sunday afternoon game with your normal broadcast crew in place.
Yeah, as would I. I mean, I knew it was going to be bad. I had no idea it was going to be that bad. I knew it was going to be bad. But when Eduardo Perez was just almost nude in the booth talking about Mookie Betts' secondary lead in the first inning, I said, oh, man. And all the pregame stuff, that's fine. You're going to do that at the home ballpark. Great. You want to give ESPN, you want to You want to make some custom cleats for Riz God Freddie Freeman and give them to him? Fine. I don't care. That's what you do when you're at somebody's ballpark. Hey, Freddie, try these on. Great. No problem. But when the game starts, and holy smokes, man, it's, you know, the weak throwing Luis Campusano, and oh my God, look at the lead from Mookie. I've never seen anybody that... Every ball player takes a secondary lead, and Mookie is a great, great player. But holy smokes, David Cohen was the only one in that booth with any sort of objectivity at all.
Integrity.
And it just, it was like, Ravitch was like, when the Padres tied the game on the Mookie Betts error, I'll say it again, on the Mookie Betts error, they couldn't get over themselves the fact that he even gloved that ball to even mention that the score was tied at the time. It was just, oh my God, look how athletic he is. That was an unbelievable play.
By the way, Jake made a much better play.
Oh my God.
Going to his other direction.
And they were talking to Profar at the time and, you know, completely whiffed.
That's just bad.
It's bad
That's
timing.
A coincidence.
But still, man, we're talking about secondary leads here. Secondary leads. Like, it was nuts. And then, oh, the grass must still be wet for Mookie because he didn't make that throw. It was bananas, dude. It was really, really bananas.
What really rankled me, and again, I don't care that you're doing features on the Dodgers.
You should.
I understand that they've got some high-profile players. So do the Padres, but yeah. It's in L.A., whatever. It's fine. But once the game starts, as a broadcaster, even if you're a home team broadcaster, I do feel like there has to be some measure of objectivity just to call the game accurately. And I
or
felt,
just call the game.
I felt, I mean, like it was lacking a little bit. When you clearly could tell that the broadcasters for ESPN were hoping the Dodgers would come back.
Oh, dude.
And win the game. And I'm not saying, I'm sure Jesse and Tony and Don and Mudd will hope the Padres will come back and win a game when they're doing it. But I didn't get the sense that if the Dodgers were up 6-3 late in the game, that they would have that same hope for the San Diego Padres. It wasn't just hoping for a good game. They felt like, yeah, that broadcast deserved a Dodgers win. We went to all this trouble to broadcast a Dodger game this weekend. We're not even getting a Dodger victory out of it. You're making us look like fools, San Diego Padres. Like somehow the Padres were doing this to the broadcasters. Like, you're making us look dumb by winning this game, Padres.
Gabe in the chat says, Freeman being one of the best base runners in the league because he scored from second on a bullet to center field by Will Smith. Yeah, man, it was just tough. It was tough. And then riding Profar so hard for not being at third base on that play was truly, truly unbelievable. Like, it's one thing to mention it, and there's a way to do it where you go, ooh, he wasn't actually busting it out of the box. I wonder if he could have made the third. They were chiding him. And then they came back from break, and I still can't believe Jurickson Profar didn't make it to third base on that. He's got to be standing on third. It was
nuts. And then the next inning, like, oh, I wonder if that run's going to come back to haunt him when the Dodgers get a guy on. It was constant.
Dude, it was constant.
It was constant. And while, yes, Jurickson wasn't absolutely busting out of the box, no one, and they showed the replay from above. All three Padres runners had to hold.
They had to
because
hold.
You weren't sure if it's going to catch it. So Jurickson can't just race by whoever was on first base, Manny at the time, and go. I mean, he had to hold up a little bit as he was. There was no reason to bust completely out of the box because you just run right into the back of Manny Machado. So you had to pace yourself a little bit on going around second to third. Could he have possibly made it to third with one out? Sure, that's the time to be aggressive rather than make the first or third out there. But
didn't he? And he just got thrown out at third trying to stretch a double into a triple the other day.
And then they pinch ran for him with a Zokar who got.
Jake was on first. That's right.
That's Jake was on
Manny
first.
Manny was on second.
And then
Zokar got thrown out trying to steal third.
That's not even possible. If Jake and Manny were on base, Jake would have to,
be ahead of Manny. Yeah, that's right.
But and then they pinch ran Zokar, and he got thrown out at third. Padres challenged. And you know, when it's getting later in the game, you take more risks on the challenges. And it was close enough, I think, that it was a valid challenge. I didn't expect them to overturn it, but I wasn't mad that they tried on that one.
I wasn't either. No, he absolutely challenged that one. I don't like that he went. And I don't know that.
But you're trying to get to third with one out so you can score in a fly
single.
Ball. But
score in a single. You know, don't.
Campy ended striking out anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. He did not have his. He smoked one. I will admit.
I thought that was gone.
I went full.
I thought it was
Dodger
gone.
Fan. I mean, I screamed. Yeah. I was like, ah! And it was, you know, fly ball, you know, to the wall.
Base of the wall, yeah.
Base of the wall. But that one got me pretty good. But yeah, big one tonight. You know, we flush this past weekend. Not flush it. We're, you know, excited about it and you move on. But you did a really, really nice job taking 2 of 3 in that place under those circumstances too, with the constant delays and et cetera, et cetera. The bullpen, staggeringly great. Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, getting the job done, along with, of course, Jurickson Profar, Jake Cronenworth, sparkling defense. Felt bad for him, man, wrapping into a couple of double plays yesterday. They hit the ball really hard. Didn't get a lot to show for it on Saturday's game. So you just don't change a thing. Just clean up your defense. Clean up your defense. Play a good, crisp, defensive game. And then you let the chips fall where they may. You cannot, Ben, continue to give teams extra outs, especially teams like the Dodgers and especially teams like the Milwaukee Brewers. You just cannot give them extra outs. They've got to earn it. And if they earn it, so be it.
By the way, the Padres do not go back to Dodger Stadium until September 24th.
Wow.
That would be the second to last series of the season. And they have 3 more games at Dodger Stadium. Now, they have 2 home series against the Dodgers, a 3-gamer, which is less than a month away. It's May 10th, 11th, and 12th, weekend series. And then they have a 2-game series, the last 2 games of July, July 30th and 31st. And that's it. So 8 more games against the Dodgers this season, 5 of them at Petco Park, and you lead the season series now 3-2. This is the year. The Padres have lost 13 consecutive season series to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You've put yourself in position for a chance to win one of these season series now through your first 5 games.
Yep. I mean, let's, you know, one at a time, certainly. But go out and win today. Go out and beat Joe Ross, a very beatable pitcher, and just try to hold that offensive bay.
Would be the first time the Padres have won on consecutive days.
Yes.
All season, if they can win today.
Yeah.
They've had 2 game winning streaks, but there was always at least one off day in between.
No doubt.
And first time they've had a winning record. They have not been above 500, correct? Oh, no, they were opening day.
Opening day.
2-1.
2-1.
2-1. So they can get back to a 10-8, 10-9 if they win today's game. All right, we've got one last check of traffic. Final couple of minutes of Ben and Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. And don't forget, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, that's us, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. I think I've shown a remarkable amount of restraint
for
3 hours and 48 minutes.
Well, hold on. Basketball or golf?
Golf.
Okay.
Golf. Haven't really discussed much of the weekend that was at the Masters, but I want to give Scottie Scheffler his due. And I know you talked off the air that Scottie Scheffler is not the most compelling athletic figure you've ever met.
No, I've never met him. Seen.
But unlike some other great champions, including Tiger Woods, Scottie Scheffler seems to just genuinely be a really nice guy. And it's hard, I think, in sports to be both a ruthless competitor and a really nice guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great champions. Jordan, Kobe, not the nicest of guys.
Tom Brady, yeah.
Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson. Not all the nicest of people. Mm-mm. But from everything I've heard about Scottie Scheffler, he's both a competitor and also just a really sweet, nice human being. And sometimes that can make you feel a little bored with watching him.
Well, he's so surgical, too. I mean, it was
so
just like the way he hit the ball.
It was the most Tiger-like performance we've seen since Tiger in his prime.
No question.
And while Scottie is very different from Tiger, what reminded me of Tiger was that the back nine on Augusta on Sunday, he made the shots he had to. The approach shot on 9 that he nearly holed. The great shot on 10 that he set up the birdie. 12, just hit the green like you have to. You know, made the eagle putt and tap in birdie on 13 like you have to. 14, got it really tight for the birdie again. Well, the other guys, they all acted like they were going up against a Tiger. Morikawa, double bogey on 9 and 11. Oberg into the water.
He's
on
great,
11
though,
for a double bogey. Max Homa, a little unlucky, but hops it over the green on 12, double bogey. The competitors, more than Tiger's greatness, half the time, 3/4 of the time, it's just everybody else melted in the face of Tiger Woods. And this was the first time I've really seen everybody else just melt in the face of Scottie Scheffler and what he can do and how relentless he is with his irons that are so precise, right distance, every single time. If he misses, it's like 15 feet to the left or right.
Yep.
That's his biggest miss usually when it comes to his iron approaches. He is so good right now.
He was masterful. I love Ludwig Aubert. God, I love that kid. He's going to be a really bright future. Personable too. Mm-hmm. Like really, he said, I've never heard anybody say this really. He goes, yeah, I was shaking, teeing off today on one. Like I was shaking because he's, what would he start the day at?
He was, I think, two back to start the day.
Yeah. So he's there going, oh, God. He goes, yeah, I almost threw up on the first hole, and my hands were shaking. But, you know, you get through. It was really cool. It was like a glimpse into the what really happens, right? But Scottie Scheffler is a – he's there's a little bit of sociopath in him. You know, just like nothing phases him, and nobody's going to get him, man. When he's playing at the top of his game, nobody's going to get him. But it was a boring Masters because you had – at one point, you had four guys tied at six under, and you're licking your chops. And then the other,
he took all the drama out.
Dodger lover Max Homa down, Morikawa down, Oberg out, and it's just like, all right, Scottie Scheffler again.
Also,
but it was sweet though. Remember, his wife is about to go into labor. He's about to have it's his first child,
mm-hmm.
and they're asking him questions, and he's like, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Like, I can't even soak this in. I want to be there, which is really sweet and rad. And, you know, now he gets the dad strength that comes with that. So his game should only get better.
His caddy, Ted Scott, is a super nice guy as well. It's just team nice. And right now they're also the best team in golf. Also wanted to shout out to Vern Lundquist, who retired after his final Masters, and I thought one of the nicest moments. I was watching early yesterday. Tiger, who didn't, you know, made the cut for a 24th straight year, but was played terribly on the weekend, just kind of wore out. Gets to 16, holds out his par putt, I think, and Vern's sitting kind of over behind a tree, just on a chair, watching the early action before he's on the air. Tiger takes the time to go out of his way to shake his hand. The guy who called some of Tiger's biggest moments, including his famous chip in on 16, the ball that stopped on the edge and rolled in. Have you ever seen anything in your life?
Vern's amazing.
Vern always had the right call.
Yep.
40 years. Of Masters calls, and he had his final one, and there's a great shot because Vern's behind a tree, and Tiger looks like he's shaking the hand of a tree. That was Vern Lundquist's hand.
That's unbelievable.
He was shaking the hand of a tree.
That picture merged. Somebody said when the edibles kick in.
The guy's shaking a hand coming out of a tree. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. Yay! Well, I'll be very glad to get back to Tony and Jesse and Don and Mudd and the regular broadcast crews. Do the Padres have any more ESPN Sunday night games scheduled? I can't remember. One more, maybe?
A couple more, probably.
I used to be the guy who would look and say, why aren't the Padres on national television more? They've got compelling players now. It's always the same team. It's the Dodgers and it's the Yankees,
the Red Sox
over and over again. We should really focus on teams like the Padres more often. Please don't. Please
stay away.
Just stay away as much as possible.
We're good.
I am more than fine not being on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. When you get the kind of experience you have having to watch that broadcast that they put together last night, we're not going to be blaming today, but do come along with having to play on Sunday Night Baseball and then traveling across the country for a Monday game, I'd just rather skip it and play the normal Sunday afternoon game with your normal broadcast crew in place.
Yeah, as would I. I mean, I knew it was going to be bad. I had no idea it was going to be that bad. I knew it was going to be bad. But when Eduardo Perez was just almost nude in the booth talking about Mookie Betts' secondary lead in the first inning, I said, oh, man. And all the pregame stuff, that's fine. You're going to do that at the home ballpark. Great. You want to give ESPN, you want to make some custom cleats for Riz God Freddie Freeman and give them to him? Fine. I don't care. That's what you do when you're at somebody's ballpark. Hey, Freddie, try these on. Great. No problem. But when the game starts, and holy smokes, man, it's, you know, the weak throwing Luis Campusano, and oh my God, look at the lead from Mookie. I've never seen anybody that... Every ball player takes a secondary lead, and Mookie is a great, great player. But holy smokes, David Cohen was the only one in that booth with any sort of objectivity at all.
Integrity.
It was like Ravitch was like, when the Padres tied the game on the Mookie Betts error, I'll say it again, on the Mookie Betts error, they couldn't get over themselves the fact that he even gloved that ball to even mention that the score was tied at the time. It was just, oh, my God, look how athletic he is. That was an unbelievable play.
By the way, Jake made a much better play.
Oh, my God.
Going to his other direction.
And they were talking to Profar at the time. And, you know, completely whiffed.
That's just bad.
It's bad
That's
timing.
A coincidence.
But still, man, we're talking about secondary leads here. Secondary leads. Like, it was nuts. And then, oh, the grass must still be wet for Mookie because he didn't make that throw. It was bananas, dude. It was really, really bananas.
What really rankled me, and again, I don't care that you're doing features on the Dodgers.
You should.
I understand that they've got some high-profile players, so do the Padres, but yeah. it's in L.A., whatever, it's fine. But once the game starts, as a broadcaster, even if you're a home team broadcaster, I do feel like there has to be some measure of objectivity just to call the game accurately. And I
or
felt,
just call the game.
I felt like it was lacking a little bit. When you clearly could tell that the broadcasters for ESPN were hoping the Dodgers would come back and win the game. And I'm not saying, I'm sure Jesse and Tony and Don and Mudd will hope the Padres will come back and win a game when they're doing it. But I didn't get the sense that if the Dodgers were up 6-3 late in the game, that they would have that same hope for the San Diego Padres. It wasn't just hoping for a good game. They felt like, yeah, that broadcast deserved a Dodgers win. We went to all this trouble to broadcast a Dodger game this weekend. We're not even getting a Dodger victory out of it. You're making us look like fools, San Diego Padres. Like somehow the Padres were doing this to the broadcasters. Like, you're making us look dumb by winning this game, Padres.
Gabe in the chat says, Freeman being one of the best base runners in the league because he scored from second on a bullet to center field by Will Smith. Yeah, man, it was just tough. It was tough. And then riding Profar so hard for not being at third base on that play was truly, truly unbelievable. Like, it's one thing to mention it, and there's a way to do it where you go, ooh, he wasn't actually busting it out of the box. I wonder if he could have made the third. They were chiding him. And then they came back from break, and I still can't believe Jurickson Profar didn't make it to third base on that. He's got to be standing on third. It was nuts.
And then the next inning, like, oh, I wonder if that run's going to come back to haunt him when the Dodgers get a guy on. It was constant.
Dude, it was constant.
It was constant. And while, yes, Jurickson wasn't absolutely busting out of the box. No one, and they showed the replay from above. All three Padres runners had to hold.
They had to hold.
Because you weren't sure if it was going to catch it. So Jurickson can't just race by whoever was on first base, Manny at the time, and go, I mean, he had to hold up a little bit as he was. There was no reason to bust completely out of the box because you just run right into the back of Manny Machado. So you had to pace yourself a little bit on going around second to third. Could he have possibly made it to third with one out? Sure, that's the time to be aggressive rather than make the first or third out there. But
didn't he? And he just got thrown out at third trying to stretch a double into a triple the other day.
And then they pinch ran for him with a Zokar who got.
Jake was on first. That's right.
That's Jake was on
Manny
first.
Manny was on second.
And then
Zokar got thrown out trying to steal
third.
That's
not even possible. If Jake and Manny were on base, Jake would have to,
be ahead of Manny. Yeah, that's right.
But and then they pinch ran Zokar, and he got thrown out at third. Padres challenged, and you know when it's getting later in the game, you take more risks on the challenges, and it was close enough. I think that it was a valid challenge. I didn't expect them to overturn it, but I wasn't mad that they tried on that one.
I wasn't either. No, he absolutely challenged that one. I don't like that he went. And I don't know that.
You're trying to get to third with one out so you can score in a fly
single.
Ball. But
score in a single. You know, don't.
Campy ended striking out anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. He did not have his. He smoked one. I will admit.
I thought that was gone.
I went full.
I thought it was
Dodger
gone.
Fan. I mean, I screamed. Yeah. I was like, ah! And it was, you know, fly ball, you know, to the wall.
Base of the wall, yeah.
Base of the wall. But that one got me pretty good. But yeah, big one tonight. You know, we flush this past weekend. Not flush it. We're, you know, excited about it and you move on. But you did a really, really nice job taking two or three in that place under those circumstances too, with the constant delays and et cetera, et cetera. The bullpen, staggeringly great. Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, getting the job done, along with, of course, Jurickson Profar, Jake Cronenworth, sparkling defense. Felt bad for him, man, wrapping into a couple of double plays yesterday. They hit the ball really hard. Didn't get a lot to show for it on Saturday's game. So you just don't change a thing. Just clean up your defense. Clean up your defense. Play a good, crisp, defensive game. And then you let the chips fall where they may. You cannot, Ben, continue to give teams extra outs, especially teams like the Dodgers and especially teams like the Milwaukee Brewers. You just cannot give them extra outs. They've got to earn it. And if they earn it, so be it.
By the way, the Padres do not go back to Dodger Stadium until September 24th.
Wow.
That would be the second to last series of the season. And they have three more games at Dodger Stadium. Now, they have two home series against the Dodgers, a three-gamer, which is less than a month away. It's May 10th, 11th, and 12th, weekend series. And then they have a two-game series, the last two games of July, July 30th and 31st. And that's it. So eight more games against the Dodgers this season, five of them at Petco Park, and you lead the season series now 3-2. This is the year. The Padres have lost 13 consecutive season series to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You've put yourself in position for a chance to win one of these season series now through your first five games.
Yep. I mean, let's, you know, one at a time, certainly. But go out, win today. Go out and beat Joe Ross, a very beatable pitcher, and just try to hold that offensive bay.
Would be the first time the Padres have won on consecutive days.
Yes.
All season, if they can win today.
Yeah.
They've had two game-winning streaks, but there was always at least one off day in between.
No doubt.
And first time they've had a winning record. They have not been above 500, correct? Oh, no, they were after opening day.
Opening day.
2-1.
2-1.
2-1. So they can get back to a 10-8, 10-9 if they win today's game. All right, we've got one last check of traffic. Final couple of minutes of Ben and Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. And don't forget, you can tune in every Thursday at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Ben and Woods, that's us, Annie and Elston, and Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. I think I've shown a remarkable amount of restraint
in
3 hours and 48 minutes.
Well, hold on. Basketball or golf?
Golf.
Oh, okay.
Golf. Haven't really discussed much of the weekend that was at the Masters, but I want to give Scottie Scheffler his due. And I know you talked off the air that Scottie Scheffler is not the most compelling athletic figure you've ever met.
No, I've never met him. Seen.
But unlike some other great champions, including Tiger Woods, Scottie Scheffler seems to just genuinely be a really nice guy. And it's hard, I think, in sports to be both a ruthless competitor and a really nice guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great champions. Jordan, Kobe, not the nicest of guys.
Tom Brady, yeah.
Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson. Not all the nicest of people. Mm-mm. But from everything I've heard about Scottie Scheffler, he's both a competitor and also just a really sweet, nice human being. And sometimes that can make you feel a little bored with watching him.
Well, he's so surgical, too. I mean, it was
so
just like the way he hit the ball.
It was the most Tiger-like performance we've seen since Tiger in his prime.
No question.
And while Scottie is very different from Tiger, what reminded me of Tiger was that the back nine on Augusta on Sunday, he made the shots he had to. The approach shot on 9 that he nearly holed. The great shot on 10 that he set up the birdie. 12, just hit the green like you have to. You know, made the eagle putt and tap in birdie on 13 like you have to. 14, got it really tight for the birdie again. Well, the other guys, they all acted like they were going up against a Tiger. Morikawa, double bogey on 9 and 11. Oberg into the water.
He's
on
great,
11
though.
For a double bogey. Max Homa, a little unlucky, but hops it over the green on 12, double bogey. The competitors, more than Tiger's greatness, half the time, three quarters of the time, it's just everybody else melted in the face of Tiger Woods. And this was the first time I've really seen everybody else just melt in the face of Scottie Scheffler and what he can do and how relentless he is with his irons that are so precise, right distance, every single time. If he misses, it's like 15 feet to the left or right.
Yep.
That's his biggest miss, usually, when it comes to his iron approaches. He is so good right now.
He was masterful. I love Ludwig Åberg.
Åberg.
God, I love that kid. He's got a
he's gonna
really
be a star.
Bright yeah. future. A personable, too. Like, mm-hmm. really. He said, I've never heard anybody say this, really. He goes, yeah, I was shaking, teeing off today on one. Like, I was shaking. Because he's, what would he start the day at?
He was, I think, two back to start
two back.
The day.
Yeah. So he's there going, oh, God. He goes, yeah, I almost threw up on the first hole, and my hands were shaking. But, you know, you get through. It was really cool. It was like a glimpse into what really happens, right? But Scottie Scheffler is a he's like, there's a little bit of sociopath in him, you know, just like nothing phases him. And nobody's going to get him, man. When he's playing at the top of his game, nobody's going to get him. But it was a boring Masters because you had, at one point, you had four guys tied at six under, and you're licking your chops. And then
he took all the drama out.
Dodger lover Max Homa down, Morikawa down, Oberg out. And it's just like, all right, Scottie Scheffler again.
Also,
but it was sweet, though. Remember, his wife is about to go into labor. He's about to have it's his first child.
Mm-hmm.
And they're asking him questions, and he's like, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. Like, I can't even soak this in. I want to be there, which is really sweet and rad. And, you know, now he gets the dad strength that comes with that. So his game should only get better.
His caddy, Ted Scott, is a super nice guy as well. It's just team nice. And right now they're also the best team in golf. Also wanted to shout out to Vern Lundquist, who retired after his final Masters, and I thought one of the nicest moments. I was watching early yesterday. Tiger, who didn't, you know, made the cut for a 24th straight year, but was played terribly on the weekend, just kind of wore out. Gets to 16, holds out his par putt, I think, and Vern's sitting kind of over behind a tree, just on a chair, watching the early action before he's on the air. Tiger takes the time to go out of his way to shake his hand. The guy who called some of Tiger's biggest moments, including his famous chip in on 16, the ball that stopped on the edge and rolled in. Have you ever seen anything in your life?
Vern's amazing.
Vern always had the right call.
Yep.
40 years of Masters calls, and he had his final one. And there's a great shot because Vern's behind a tree, and Tiger looks like he's shaking the hand of a tree. That was Vern Lundquist's hand.
That's unbelievable.
He was shaking the hand of a tree.
That picture merged. Somebody said when the edibles kick in.
shaking a hand coming out of a tree. It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it kind of lost me yesterday a little bit. Once Scheffler started to pull away, you know, and again, he had such a commanding lead. And he's walking up 18. Bro, tip your hat. Like, I get it. You're competitive. You got to make your last putt and everything. You got to enjoy that a little bit.
Will be interesting to see PGA Championship next month. It's on a course that should be good for him. A Nicklaus designed Valhalla high faders course. Exactly what Scottie does. If he can win that one. All right, now let's get something interesting going, because world number one winning the first major of the year. Haven't seen that in a while.
He's pretty spectacular.
All right, I got my golf talk. And
feel better?
Annie and Elston will get right back to the Padres talk and the weekend that was.
Probably just woke up from a nap.
How we doing? Is it over? Oh, we're good.
Masters is over until next year. You're good, Paulie. All right, good Monday show. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for our executive producer, Paulie Rindle, for Stephen Woods. I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.